Good morning. So it's great to be here with you again. It's almost exactly a year since I was last with you for the first time. And I want to say a special thank you to Steve and to Grace and to this whole community. You know, Steve and I have had an opportunity to have some really good conversations about what God is doing here, about what God is doing in the world. And from the beginning of those conversations when I was on staff at Bethel to now where we are about 4 weeks, 5 weeks now into being a new congregation, it's really, really exciting. And so, our church has 8 members, including me, so you see a few of us are here, probably a couple more on the way and it's going to straggle in. But anyway, and I want to also thank my husband, my amazing husband. It'll be 11 years on August 4th since we got married. And this area is special because he used to live on Rice Street, so really it all, our relationship butted around the Celtics and North Cambridge, so here we are. And so, yeah, our congregation is a multiracial, multi-class group of folks that are hoping for a radical move of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I think we need a little divine intervention right now in our world to stay, and so we hope to be part of helping that to happen. And so we're in the process of looking for a meeting space on the other end of the red line, on the Dorchester side of things. So as we grow, we hope to continue being in relationship with you and learning from you and sharing and just seeking God's faith together. So I come to you this morning in a time where so many people feel angry and afraid, bitter and berserk, confused and crushed, defiant and discouraged, exasperated and enraged, fuming and freaked out, galled and grasping, horrified and huffy, incensed and intimidated. And in the midst of all that energy, this morning's sermon encourages you to just breathe. Just breathe. So our scripture text, if we were to start somewhere, would come from Genesis, the first chapter. And just in case you want to know, it's the first book of the Bible and the first chapter. And we're going to start in the first verse. So it's about as easy as it can get to find it. And it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." The Spirit, the Ruach, the Holy Ghost, the living, moving Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And verse 6 goes on to tell us that God said, and there was separation between the sky and the water. Verse 9, God said, and the dry land appeared. Verse 11, God said, and the plants grew out of the land. Verse 20, God spoke, and the fish swam the seas, and the birds flew in the air. And God, in verse 24, God said, and animals of many kinds began to walk the earth. And then in verse 26, God said, and a pretty unique animal, us, humans, we were formed in the likeness of God. And finally, in verse 29, God said, and this one I will read exactly because some folks won't believe it if they don't hear it exactly. It said, and then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. This will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the earth, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. Want to note that it says every plant for food? It does not mention bacon, fried chicken, filet mignon, or even lean turkey. So in God's perfection, we were all vegetarian, eating only things from the ground. This is not the focus of my sermon, but I did want to note it. And in all honesty, I am not yet a vegan myself, but I do believe that we should all pay attention to how we can get our eating habits to better align with God's perfect plan. Okay, so moving on. Back to our central point, that when God speaks, things happen. When God exhales and makes sounds, worlds are formed. In the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered, and then it began to move, and the creation came to be. Who is the Spirit of God? We talk a lot about God as Father, as Parent, or Jesus, as a Son, and a Savior, but our praise songs are filled with adoration for God and Jesus. But honestly, the Holy Spirit often comes in a very distant third in our songs, in our thoughts, in our theology. The scripture tells us that she was there at the very beginning and that she put work in on behalf of creation. Now, some of you might have noticed that I call the Holy Spirit she, and you may be offended, intrigued, or affirming of this decision. So let me just take a moment to explain. In the Hebrew scriptures, the Holy Spirit is called Ruach. In the first chapter of Genesis, the Holy Spirit is described as the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, and Ruach in Hebrew is a feminine word. The Ruach appears throughout the Hebrew scriptures as the Spirit, but is also as breath, as wind, as wisdom. And in the New Testament, it's a little bit more complicated. There are feminine, masculine, and neuter words all used for the Holy Spirit. But in the Hebrew scriptures, the Holy Spirit is always expressed in the feminine. And so for centuries, Christians have debated the gender of the Holy Spirit. But she was often acknowledged as feminine until a time where it just so happened to coincide that she moved from being feminine to masculine at the same time that there were a lot of efforts to reduce the power of women in the church. I don't think that's a coincidence. And there are some of you who may have been Christians your whole lives, have studied the scripture, and have never heard about this, and I was one of those folks. And when I first wondered, how come I never knew that the Holy Spirit is described in the scriptures with feminine? And in my divine imagination, I asked the Spirit, what happened? How did this happen? And she said, me too, girl. Me too. So, even though she is often forgotten, in the Jewish mystical tradition, the Ruach HaKidosh is the divine word, the embodiment of God's speech in the world. It is the Ruach HaKidosh that is present at the beginning of time, that brings the world into existence, and it is the same Ruach HaKidosh that creates infinite possibilities in the present. As I mentioned before, the Ruach is also translated as air or wind. The Ruach is the Holy Spirit, the omnipresent God force in our lives, and literally the air that we breathe that moves throughout the world. Inhaled air is about 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, and 1% a bunch of other stuff, including argon, carbon dioxide, neon, helium, hydrogen, and an interestingly large number of chemicals that we don't even fully understand. God created a perfect balance where animals like us take in oxygen, we release carbon dioxide, which plants take in, process, and turn it back into oxygen that we need to live. And most of us take about an average of 16 breaths a minute, which means that's 23,040 breaths a day, 8,409,600 breaths a year. And if you live to an average life expectancy of 78 years, that is 655,948,800 breaths in your life. Every day, we depend on air to be there, and most of us don't even think about it until something makes us pay attention. For some of us, it might be a panic attack that comes at a moment when stress of life overwhelms us and literally takes our breath away. For others, it may be the time when you decide to go back to the gym or run that 5K. You get the clothes, the shoes, and the eco-friendly water bottle. But when you start running, you realize that no gear can make up for weak cardiovascular muscles. And as you gasp for breath, you would call out to God if you had enough breath to do so. But like so many things, you don't realize how much you depend on something until it might just be gone. We all get winded sometimes, but usually we can calm down, slow down, and bring ourselves back. If we work out, we can build up our body's capacity to process air and strengthen our lungs. But then there are those of us whose breathing capacity is constrained by asthma. Asthma is a condition that causes your airways to narrow and to produce extra mucus, which clogs up the passages of your lungs, making it harder for air to get in. For some people, asthma's minor, just a distraction. For others, it is a life-threatening condition. Science shows that asthma is a combination of genetic and environmental factors that influence it. There are debates about which of these factors is most important, but what science does know is that as environmental factors, and particularly pollution, increases in our world, the rates of asthma are rising. Scientists also agree that one of the most important factors in causing the tension of asthma is the exposure of young lungs to toxins. That is why so much work has been done to convince pregnant mothers to quit smoking. But the reality is that even if the mother doesn't smoke, if her lungs are exposed to polluted air, those pollutants make their way into the baby's lungs. While adults breathe at an average of 12 to 20 breaths a minute, an infant breathes at a rate of 30 to 60 breaths a minute, up to three times as much as an adult, which means everything we put in the air, every pollutant, every toxin, flows into our children's lungs faster and more powerfully. And asthma is growing around the world, but in our country, the fastest growing rate of asthma is among Black children. 2015 statistics show that Black people were 20% more likely to have asthma than their white counterparts. Latino children were twice as likely to die from asthma as white children. Asian American children are actually doing relatively well, but around the world, when we look at countries like China, asthma is the leading cause of hospitalization for children. Estimates say that in 2010, pollution contributed to more than 1.2 million deaths in China alone. And some estimates cite that pollution is one of the biggest killers affecting more than 100 million people, making it comparable to diseases like malaria and HIV. Just this past Tuesday, we marked 4 years from the day when Eric Garner was standing on Bay Street in Staten Island. He was known for being out there many days selling loose cigarettes, and in his book, I Can't Breathe, author Matt Taibbi documents the life of Mr. Garner. At 6'3" and 350 pounds, Eric Garner was a known presence in the community. A father of six, he spent most of his time trying to earn money to support his children. Folks said that he wasn't always the best dressed guy because he rarely spent money on himself, electing always to save it for his kids. Mr. Garner was also known as a peacemaker, reminding people that violence is bad for business and encouraging folks to keep their cool. On the day in question, he had just broken up a fight between two guys. And so when the police approached him, he kept insisting that he hadn't done anything wrong. In fact, he argued, you could argue, that he was actually doing their job in breaking up the fight on the corner. Nonetheless, the officers decided to arrest him and used a chokehold, an illegal chokehold, that was against official police policy. And with their knees in his back, they applied pressure to Mr. Garner's lungs, so his last words were, "I can't breathe." These words became a rallying cry around the world about the injustice of police brutality, but while many people were against the brutality, what they also did not know, that was that part of the reason that Eric Garner died is that he suffered from acute asthma, just like so many other low-income people in this country. Eric Garner would not have died without the unjustified force by the New York Police Department, but he also might have survived if he did not suffer from a disease that affects so many people who grow up being exposed to chemicals and toxins that we cannot pronounce and whose side effects we have not yet bothered to figure out. To maintain our lifestyle and our way of being, companies make an economic assessment that pollution can be concentrated in low-income communities and communities of color. We make a decision that these people, these communities' lives don't matter, and as thus many people, especially our youngest, find themselves literally unable to breathe. Unfortunately, the tragedy did not stop with Eric Garner. In the aftermath of his death, his daughter Erica raised her voice demanding justice not only for her father, but for so many others. For more than 4 years, she waited for the federal government to intervene to no avail. Just last week, the NYPD announced that it would do its own disciplinary hearing since it was clear that federal action was not coming. Finally, Erica's calls were heeded. Unfortunately, it was too late for her to see them. Erica Garner was also a parent. And in mid-2017, actually just around this time, about a year ago, she gave birth to a baby boy and named him Eric after his grandfather. Due to the complications of her pregnancy and her own battle with asthma, Erica suffered a heart attack shortly after his birth. And then, at the end of 2017, just as Christmas approached, Erica had another asthma attack and a subsequent heart attack that put her in a coma. And so, during the Christmas season, with baby Eric only 4 months old, the Garner family said goodbye to Erica, yet another family member who just couldn't breathe. In January 2016, Erica Garner wrote an op-ed titled, "Black Lives Like My Father's Should Matter." In it, she said, "If our lives really mattered, we'd have equal access to decent jobs, good schools, and affordable housing. If our lives mattered in this country, we'd have equal access to clean air, clean water, and real investment in our neighborhoods. If black lives mattered in America, those who routinely brutalize us wouldn't be the ones paid with our tax dollars to keep us safe. Even with my own heartbreak," she said, "when I demand justice, it's never just for Eric Garner. It's for my daughter. It's for the next generation of African Americans. When I think about this presidential election, I'm not thinking about the next 4 years. I'm thinking about the next 40. As climate change exacerbates the effects of pollutions, we are in a crucial time in human history. The decisions we make now will determine whether or not our children will be able to breathe in the future. And if we want to honor God's creation, if we want to save our species, we have to change. We must change our lifestyles away from gas-guzzling cars towards smaller cars and bicycles and public transportation and maybe even more walking. It's time to change our energy policy away from polluting energy sources that cripple communities and towards creation-powered sources like wind and solar. It's time to stop thinking of healthcare as a privilege and ensure that all God's children have access to quality care. Less pollution and better healthcare would have let the Garners live a little longer, and they will have helped ensure that our children can breathe for centuries to come. Some people see these as political issues. I see them as collective decisions that we will make either to create the kind of world that God would want or to ignore God's call to take care of our neighbor and just let everybody fend for themselves. If everyone is going to be able to breathe, we have got to make some different decisions and to change the path that we are currently on. But for me, the truth is that we cannot do this in our own strength. I do tons of activism and lots of work, and I am completely convinced that human beings left to themselves are in deep trouble. Getting us, especially us as Americans, to shift away from consumption will literally require an act of God. And thankfully, we serve a God who knew we'd be at this moment before the beginning of time. I believe that the Holy Spirit knew of our predicament when she led the prophet to pen these words in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, verses 5 to 14, which say, "This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you to righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or praise idols. See, the former things, they have taken place. And yet new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. And down in verse 14, it says, for a long time, I have kept silent. I've been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp, and I pant. I look at what's happening in the world, and I think, Lord, we need a rushing wind to come in and disrupt things, to blow some things over and to whisk some things away and to uncover some things that need to be exposed. I don't know about you, but I want the Spirit to come in, not just to fill the world, but also to fill me. I want her to give me the ability to walk and not get weary, to run and not faint, to be filled with the breath of God. If you know that we need the Spirit, and if you know that you need the Spirit, then I invite you to plant your feet on the ground, like literally to plant, not figuratively, but to literally plant your feet on the ground. And close your eyes. Take in a deep breath. Take a moment to just thank God that you are able to breathe. Let your heart fill with gratitude for this gift that we so often take for granted. And now I want you to imagine that your spirit, that the Spirit is filling your lungs with the freshest air imaginable. Imagine that even as you take in that new breath, you are exhaling everything that stands in the way of being the person of conviction that God is calling you to be. Imagine that the Spirit is filling you so that your joy spills over. That the Spirit is filling you so that you can give life to something new. To birth a world where we value every single life. Imagine that you, that we are giving birth to a society that lives in harmony with the rest of the planet. Imagine that we create a world together where baby Eric's life is radically different than that of his grandfather. And imagine that as you breathe in the power of the Holy Spirit, that Eric and Erica Garner, that Adam and Eve, that Jesus is looking down, saying, breathe, just breathe, come and rest at my feet, and breathe, just breathe, chaos calls, but all you really need is to take it in, fill your lungs, the peace of God that overcomes, and breathe, 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 just breathe. Come and rest at my feet and breathe.
Wow, thank you, Mariama. So much there. I don't want to say a lot. Maybe I just want to keep that, give us a chance to hold that moment of prayer for a couple more minutes and respond, and we'll invite our band to come up as we do that. God, so grateful for our friend Mariama's invitation, her welcome to breathe in, Holy Spirit, to welcome you into our minds, hearts, bodies, lungs, breath of God, as our own renewal, refresher, presence of life for us. And God is one who fills us with all that we need to be children of God in a world in which we suffocate. Holy Spirit, as we continue in worship, any of us that our consciences are pricked, or we maybe even find ourselves resistant or defensive in some way, we pray, God, that you would soften us, that we could welcome all that you have and are to us in the rest of this service. We pray those of us that experience grief as kind of Eric and Erica Garner, like virtually brought into our sanctuary and service this morning, and that brings a reminder of pain. We pray, God, that you'd sit with us in our response, that you would lead us forward into hope and courage. God, we thank you for the reminder that all of us, certainly, specifically Black Lives Matter, and not just matters of law enforcement, policing, but in public health. And God, we pray this Holy Spirit message of holism would grip us in all the ways it needs to. We pray that each of us would be available as a part of your good renewal in our times on this earth. We would like to see your glory and your goodness in our own lives, in the broader city and world at large. So God, refresh us, renew us, speak to us, we pray, as we worship. Call us to action, we pray. Amen.